All right, time to talk to Mike Florio. Sponsored by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist, and JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, in the last 15 minutes, we have learned that another member of the Rooney family has ripped the intent or motive to sign TJ Watt. I feel like this is a red meat topic for you. You love stuff like this.
Wow.
Patrick Rooney Jr., who is the grandson of the chief, who is a former what, Donnie? What was his position?
He was in the Florida House of Representatives.
The Florida House of Representatives. He went into a political career, saying on a gambling podcast, a sports betting podcast down in Florida, that it would be absolutely insane of his grandfather's team to sign TJ Watt to a deal.
Wow. It would be insane to sign him?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Because they think he's too old?
I can pull up more of the quotes here, but the quick blurb I got on this was that he said, absolutely insane. It would be totally insane right now to spend that kind of money on a player. $41
million. Wow. Well, you know, that dovetails with some of the chatter that's been out there. Didn't Aditi say on your program that the attitude that was projected toward him in 2021 is he should be grateful or he should feel fortunate? You know, that attitude they didn't have with Aaron Rodgers and didn't have with DK Metcalf, it's weird how it might be selectively happening with certain players. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to play for the Steelers when we don't want to pay you what you want. And they've been spoiled in recent years. Now, they had to pay DK Metcalf, but they got a quarterback for $13 million, a high-end quarterback, all-time great for $13 million. Last year, they got Russell Wilson for the minimum. I mean, last year, they were paying Russell Wilson, Kyle Allen, and Justin Fields less than what Mason Rudolph had
in Tennessee.
And one year from the Titans. Yep. So, I don't know. You know, look, all these teams want to pay as little as they can, and sometimes the rubber's got to meet the road, and it looks like it could happen with TJ Watt.
Mike, who has more leverage in this situation, Watt or the Steelers?
Well, here's what it comes down to, and I think I wrote this after I was with you guys last week. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody who knows people in the organization. I'm not going to make it sound like I know exactly what's going on in the organization, but the sense I've gotten, you know, they're very good about not
sure,
except the extended family yes. members, the people who are
that's
you know,
now
in
happened
control.
Twice in the last few months with family members saying things.
The people who are actually in control aren't usually saying a lot of things publicly about their plans. But here's the way you got to think of it. When the time comes for the Steelers to put their best offer on the table, whatever it may be, is he going to say no to it and hold out under his $21 million per year salary, at least $21 million for the final year? We know it's a $28 million average, but it's $21 million going into this year. But if they'd offer him a package that has an average value of, let's just go with $36 million, that's the easiest because you have 18 game checks per season. Mm-hmm. So if their best number is 36 and he wants 40.25, to outdo Myles Garrett. Once the Steelers put 36 on the table, what that means is if you skip games, you're giving up $2 million a week. Is he going to do that? I think that those who deal with people in the organization, I know that those who deal with people in the organization believe that they're confident he wouldn't say no to that kind of weekly. I'm not saying 36 is the number, but I think they believe whatever their best number is, once they put it out there, he's not going to say no to it. But we'll see. They may be wrong.
Mike, how about the guaranteed money aspect? Garrett got $123.5 million guaranteed. Watt got the first 2 years of his contract guaranteed last time. Let's just say ballpark, it is $36 million a year. That's $72 million guaranteed. That's not even close to what Garrett got. So how do you make them hold
full guarantee
there,
and injury guarantee are two different things.
Well,
I don't have
for
the full
us,
guarantee
then.
At signing in front of me for Garrett. But, you know, the number that always gets put out there is the maximum total complete injury guarantee. The real guarantee at signing is always less than that. But that was a big deal for the Steelers to do 2 years guaranteed at signing, fully guaranteed for Watt, because they only ever did it for quarterbacks before Watt's deal.
So Garrett has $59 million fully guaranteed.
Okay, so You said 59?
59 at signing. 59 million guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, yep. that's easy for the Steelers to do then.
Okay.
They could do 60 million fully guaranteed at signing and beat Garrett if that's the number. The real question is, how much are they going to tie up? And when will they be able to get out of it? The structure is going to be the key here. Because if he slips and they get to a point where they want to move on, they need to be able to rip it up and deal with whatever the cap consequence would be, minimize what they would owe him. I mean, look at what the Broncos owed Russell Wilson when they cut him. Like $37, $38 million. And they saved $1.21 million when he signed with the Steelers. You're going to want to avoid that. Like, if you just realize after a year, oh, my God, what have we done? This guy's falling off of a cliff. And I'm not saying he's going to.
Yeah.
But if age is part of this, flexibility to get out of it is going to be a part of the structure of their offer. But, you know, a lot of times guys don't care about that. They just care about the APY that gets put out there. I've talked to Devin McCourty about it. You know, tax issues, states where there's no tax, states where there's high tax. All guys seem to care about is APY. When it's time to compare, they're comparing APY. And structure may not matter to TJ Watt. He may just want the highest APY. And if it means the Steelers can bail after 1 year, maybe that's good enough for him.
Mike, there's been some local reporting on this that suggests that maybe one of the complicating factors of this is, hey, he didn't play well at the end of last year. The Steelers are a little bit worried that maybe they've already seen the best from Watt and they don't want to pay him for what he did in the past instead of what he's going to do in the future. Does that line up with some of the things you've heard about the Watt negotiation?
Yeah, I mean, that's more the common sense around the league. Why would the Steelers be waiting so long? Why would there be this sense that there's a gap? You never pay a guy for what he's done. If you pay guys for what they've done, you're asking for trouble. And, you know, the cliche used to be that the NFL is a what have you done for me lately league. It's not that either. It's what are you doing for me right now and what do I expect you to do for me tomorrow? That's what guys get paid on. They don't get paid on the past. They don't get lifetime achievement contracts. They get paid based on what we think this guy brings to the table right now, this year, next year, and maybe 1 year beyond that. And that's the key. So the older a guy gets, you know, Trey Hendrickson's in the same boat. He wants that Max Crosby deal. Well, he's not Max Crosby in large part because Max Crosby's 3 years younger.
Mike, who are the teams that are lurking around and hoping that either Hendrickson or Watt or one of these big edge rushers can't get a deal done so they can swoop in and try to steal the guy and trade for the guy? Who are the teams that are waiting in the wings to get bad news on the contractual front with these guys?
Well, look, these teams don't typically wear it on their sleeves because they don't want to create unrealistic expectations among their fan base. It potentially creates problems in your locker room if the guys currently on your team think that your front office is looking to supplant them with some big trade. But
yeah,
the Lions haven't done anything since Za'Darius Smith was released. Now, he'd like to go back, but you've got Aiden Hutchinson on one side recovering from a serious leg injury, and you've got really nobody that pops on the other side. And so it's just commonsensical. You know, look at the teams that are in the window. And I did a segment on this on PFTPM earlier in the week or late last week. It's all blurring together for me. But which teams are really in the window? How many teams really have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year? There's 10, maybe 12. And, you know, the question becomes, are we willing to take that big swing? Are we willing to go all in? Are we willing to make a decision that could cause cap problems in the future in an effort to get over the top? Or, you know, in the case of a team like the Eagles, not that the Eagles would do it, but how many times have we seen when, you know, somebody's floating out there that could be a difference maker, the Eagles find a way to get it done?
There's also a lot of conjecture here about what Watt's value would actually be if it came to that. And some people think it's crazy that they'd even get a first-round pick. Where do you come down on that?
Oh, I think that at a minimum, it's a first-round pick. But this is the problem. If you're going to trade for TJ Watt, not only do you have to give him a contract that is bigger than what his current team is willing to give him, You have to value him more than his current team does, and you've got to give his current team enough to get them to trade him.
Yep.
Now, if there's somebody out there that's willing to do a 1 and a 3, right, and pay him what he wants, at a certain point, the level of trade compensation is a message to the Steelers. Like, hey, this team's willing to give him what he wants and give up a 1 and a 3. And I'm just using that by way of example. That's a message that the team that has him isn't valuing him the way that it should.
That's
or,
a good point.
Or the other team is just nuts.
Yeah.
We've got that too. We've seen that. The Browns is the Browns, as Juju once said. So, and I'm not saying the Browns would do something like that, but we've seen them give up 3 first-round picks and more to pay a guy $230 million fully guaranteed on a 5-year deal.
Now that you brought them up, yet again, this ESPN anonymous poll where they asked the GMs and coaches and scouts to rank players at every position. Garrett finished ahead of Watt again, even though for his career, Watt's numbers are better than Garrett's across the board in every meaningful statistic for edge rushers. So why do you think it is, Mike, that the people that watch the game and get paid by teams to critique these players and evaluate these players, why do you think that they almost universally believe Garrett is a better player than Watt, even though the numbers don't back it up?
Yeah, I mean, the pro-Garrett argument, as I've heard it, is he's constantly double-teamed. He's constantly the focal point of what the offense is trying to counter. His team is constantly bad. The Steelers are constantly good. And that would be a hell of an alternate universe where all things are equal, but T.J. Watt is a lifetime Brown and Myles Garrett is a lifetime Steeler. How different would they be if those two and nothing else?
Yeah.
If just those two things were swapped.
So he actually, it's one of those weird things where he actually benefits from being on a crappy team in the minds of people.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. When you stand out like he does on a crappy team, the argument is, you don't have that. Not that the Browns have a horrible defense, but when you have a horrible offense, that puts pressure on your defense. Of course, it's not that the Steelers have been the greatest show on turf in recent years, and they still find ways to win. And maybe it's because Watt is ultimately a bigger difference maker in crunch time than Garrett. It's a fun debate. They're both great. And they both will end up, I believe, I don't really care about who gets into the Hall of Fame and who doesn't, because it's too political and it's too apples and oranges and every other fruit imaginable trying to compare and contrast which players from which era from which position. But I think they both have a case for it, and they're both currently among the best of the best. And, we'll see. We'll find out what the Steelers are going to do, and we'll find out whether he shows up and holds in, which seemed to be a peaceful resolution last time around, versus not showing up at all.
Mike, top of your head, extemporaneously, because our producer, Donnie Football, will be doing this at 5 o'clock. Who would you rank number one as the top Steelers player of this quarter century, 2000 through 2024?
It's a quarterback-driven league, and Ben Roethlisberger won 2 Super Bowls with the Steelers, and they were contenders every year with him. And look at where they are now without him. They're 3 years into the 20-year drought that they had between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger. Having the quarterback makes all the difference. So that would be my first thought. You'd have to come up with a good argument for someone other than the quarterback, because quarterbacks are so important to successful teams.
Although in 84, 95, 97, and 01, during that drought, they went to the AFC Championship game, which people sometimes
forget. That's right. No, they were still, and they went to the Super Bowl without him, and that's right. But they didn't get the one for the thumb between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger.
Mike, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you, buddy.